Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we're talking about Rick's choice of a Fate Grand Order, the First Order, a.k.a. the extended episode.
It wasn't that bad. I mean, it was pretty bad, but it wasn't that bad.
True. But if you want to catch a wider part of our conversation where we were actually talking about the Fate series as a whole and went down the rabbit hole on the history of the games, catch a part of that wider conversation at Featured Anime Podcast at patreon.com/ Featured Anime Podcast to catch a part of that wider conversation. Dollar a month will actually get you there. So, Fate Grand Order, First Order, came out in December 2016. Oh, ironically, December 31st, 2016. Producers for it were Aniplex and Notes. Studio was Les Deux, which is a new one for me. I don't think we've ever seen anything by Les Deux. And the source for it was a game, which we actually talked a little bit about in the pre-show. And the genres for it are action, supernatural, magic, and fantasy. And it ran for an hour and 14 minutes.
It felt like 25 minutes. So I guess you could say the pacing was good.
Okay.
That's about it.
Sadly. Yeah. I mean, we'll go with that. It looks like Les Deux also did another Fate Grand Order movie as well.
You think maybe it's part two?
I hope. I mean, and then there's another, looks like a series as well that came out, maybe, possibly. I don't know. The more I delve into the Fate series, the more confused I actually get. And that is the very sad truth of it, is the more I actually try to understand the Fate series, the more confused I get. And I don't like being confused, Rick. I really don't.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that if you ever decided to sit down and plot a, let's call it, character map of all the stories and all that, all the good stuff, you're going to get stuck. And it's going to double back on itself, and you'll have to do edits and re-edits, because it's frustrating. And 90% of the stories that I saw are focused around one specific pivotal moment in, like, the world history. I think I've seen three different series, I don't know what you want to call them, because technically it's the same story, just retold somewhere else, you know? And what ends up happening is you've got one or two slight changes that change the whole story. And it's kind of cool the way that they re-envision the story every single time.
Yeah.
There's certain changes. Sometimes the main character is male. Sometimes the main character, who is the same character, I might add, is female. Sometimes they're strong. Sometimes they're weak. Sometimes they understand what's going on. Sometimes they're clueless. I find myself to be more drawn to the clueless type because we can learn with the character rather than the character just being a Mary Sue and able to pull out all the stops every single time and have no issues whatsoever.
Right.
My case in point, Unlimited Blade Works. The character, very stupid, many different times, and kind of falls into situations that are just beneficial on accident. And then when everything is revealed towards the very end, you're like, 5D chess. Okay, I can respect that. 4D chess, sorry, 4D chess. No such thing as 5D chess, I don't think. I could be wrong.
You never know. Hey, you know, there could be, in the future, a 5D chess. You don't know this. I mean, and with the Fate series, they may create it.
Right?
They may create this. So here's the core concept, though, for this is it takes place in 2015, and the Childia, I want to say it's pronounced.
I thought it was Childie.
Chaldea. I mean, like, well, child. You could call it child.
That's what I thought it was. It's the, a weird spelling.
Yeah, it's, I mean, well, how did you watch it? Did you watch it subbed or dubbed?
Subbed.
Okay. So, Chaldea is how it was spelled in the subs all the way through. I know this because I kept trying to read it the whole time. I was confused every single time. So in the child mind. Security organization, you know, is a part of this organization in the future that's basically trying to make sure humanity has a future, 100 years in the future. And should something happen, they go into the past to fix it, because apparently things in the past will tell you if something will be there 100 years in the future. Because
it's very complicated the way that they set this up. Because I was able to break it down. In the simplest version, you have a mirror facing the future, but reflecting the past. But what I mean by that is, if you see something on this map, what you're actually witnessing is 100 years in the future. But if there's an issue, what you're really looking at is the past projection of the future, using a complicated series of mathematical equations and, I would say, almost god-tier-like deductions, all controlled by a supercomputer that is magic. So,
literally,
let's say...
Literally, let's say, not metaphorically. It's controlled by a magical supercomputer.
So the way it's working is you basically are looking at the past, and in the past, you are looking in the future by 50 or 100 years. So when you're looking in the past, you've created a kind of, in my head, a continuum issue or a storyline issue. And the person from the past, I'm getting exhausted trying to explain this mentally. But the person in the past sees this fluctuation, uses the energy of that fluctuation to send themselves information from 100 years in the future. So you're really not doing the work. You're just peeping on somebody else who did all the work to look 100 years in the future. And the issue with that is your action of looking over there and their action of looking forward has massive effects on daily life. And basically, if the people from the past see that there's a problem with the people from the future, where they all get wiped out, then our present people have to go to the past and try to fix that, which is how this becomes a story.
Yeah, but one of the things about that is, it's like, it took you that long just to explain it, and I'm still kind of lost on it. And I know you're still lost on it, even though you were trying to explain it, but...
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, so think of, like,
so here's the thing though, right?
Okay,
all of that whole explanation that you took,
yeah,
they tried to do the exact same kind of explanation over, I want to say, 40 minutes and then decided to take the last 30 minutes and compress it into some action, throw in some like little nuggets of, like, here's some people from the Fate series, let's change how they look and not go into any details about anything that's going on or why all this is happening. Well, and then we'll go on along our way. I mean, like, granted, I know the big bad at the very end, whoop-de-doo, okay.
Also the big bad in the beginning, but...
Whoop-de-doo.
True, but I don't think that was the main issue here. So, let's look at it like this. So, you and I are on different times. Let's say we're 1 year apart, okay? And... let's have another guy. Let's call him, I don't know, Katz, right? So Katz represents the future. Me being my present, I look at you. You see that there's something wrong, and you're like, I want to look to the future. But you overshoot. Instead of look at me, you look at Katz. So I effectively can see the future, which is Katz, because I looked at you. That's how they're doing it here. So it's mirror reflected.
I guess.
But the main problem is, By me looking, I changed my past. And by you looking, you changed your future.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain the problems that were actually happening, though.
They're because of me. If I never looked at you, you would have never found out you could look forward.
Yeah, and but we don't know. No. See, I disagree with you. The problems that they were having aren't there because you looked. The problems that are there because homeboy professor wanted those problems to be there.
Not quite. So the reason, so what their whole premise for this Holy Grail war in
Fate, no, see, it's the holy, it has nothing to do with that though. For the premise of the movie had nothing to do with the Holy Grail war.
But it does though. All.
They it does. Touched on it, but that's not the premise yep. of the movie. The movie was, well, no, there's this didn't. One problem. This isn't a part of it. This is taking place during the fifth Holy Grail War. Let's go back and find out why something's happening different than what it's actually supposed to happen. And so and they so go I have back.
A theory.
And, yeah. Your theory is just making it more confusing. It's not helping.
No, this one makes sense.
Okay.
So
try me.
So
hit me.
Fate Zero.
Uh huh.
When. That, so all the fates are going around this Holy Grail War that we in the movie jump to, right? So the Holy Grail War, they named two different grails in Fate Zero. One is a minor grail. One is the greater grail. In the 2012 Greater Grail War, someone brought in the minor grail and messed all that up. Now, if you haven't watched it, it's very confusing.
But this doesn't take place during that time frame.
It does.
It takes place during 2004.
Sorry, 2004, not 2012. I apologize. But here's the thing. In the Greater Grail, the Minor Grail was won by a servant with no master. And the Minor Grail is only supposed to be touched by a master, which caused a catastrophe, which unlocked the Greater Grail. In this particular movie, the Greater Grail is the prize. And that's what all of the servants with no masters are going after. So that's how that kind of ties in here, I think.
So the thing is all the servants already had been defeated except for two of them. The only reason why the other ones were there are because of the corruption to Saber or Arthur, and that is why they're still there. But even the synopsis, the premise, the description for the movie says, the cause is unknown.
I'm standing by what I said.
Hey,
because it makes sense.
Hey, you know what? If it makes sense to you, I am all for it. You know why? Because the Fate series is still as confusing as ever.
And I think that's part of the appeal. It's meant to be. And I know that a lot of people will watch it and they'll see one or two good series out of it and walk away going, dang, this is a really good franchise. I wish they'd make it more cohesive or coherent. And when they sit down to take a look at it, it honestly looks like you've got a conspiracy theory, like hermit trying to draw strings from point A to point B to point C that rounds back to point A that goes like to point Z and then back to point B. So it would just look super confusing if you tried to map it out, which is one of the reasons why you can jump in literally at any point in the story and you'd understand what's going on. It would be like if we played, Crudsicle. What was that game that scared me so bad that you loved that had daddies and little sisters?
Bioshock.
Yes. It would be like Bioshock. You can jump in anywhere in Bioshock Infinite, Bioshock 1, Bioshock 2. You don't have to watch or play the previous game to make the current game make sense.
True.
But it does help if you do.
Not really. I mean, like, there only two of them are really intertwined. The other one's not completely part of the universe at all. But like, it's its own standalone game. It has nothing to do with what the other one. So
no, I just realized something.
That you're confusing yourself more?
A little bit. It wasn't Fate Zero. It was Fate Stay and Fate Stay Night.
Which one?
There was only one Fate Stay, and then there was only one Fate Stay Night.
No, there's multiple Fate Stay Nights.
You killing me, man.
I mean, if you're just saying Fate Stay Night, I mean, like, are you talking about Fate Stay Night? Are you talking about Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works? Are you talking about Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works the movie? Are you talking about...
I would say we're going to have to watch them all just to be on the safe side.
I mean, there's Fate Prototype.
Oh, God.
Fate Stay Night, the movie Heaven's Feels 1.
Feels 1.
So.
It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. All right, this is what you would call beating a dead horse. Because a story's been told. many different ways.
So here's the thing, right? The Fate series, the original Fate series, like this movie, is actually based off of a game.
All right.
And from what I was reading, the original game was a dating sim simulator that took you on, based on your choices, took you on these different paths. So all these different fate, grand orders are derivatives of those different offshoots. So they go here, well, here's these, and then, you know, from here you can go like this, and then you can go like that, and just keep expanding it out. So basically it's a pyramid scheme for this anime series. It's like you start at one pinnacle point, this one idea of a game, and it just kind of expanded from there. And it doesn't matter which way they go. It really doesn't. Because in the end, you can watch any of them and go, okay, cool, watch this other one. Why does that one conflict? Oh, well, whatever. Watch another one. Hey, this was great.
Yeah. And just like with this one. So in this particular movie, what we found, and I feel like this would be a perfect prime real estate to start another show, another series, another new name of it, you know?
Yeah.
So the thing I really liked, and the thing that kind of annoyed me about this one, is typically when you bond with a spirit, like you create a contract, you become master and servant kind of thing. As a master, your tattoo, the one that you move, allows you to understand and know everything about your servant.
The one that you move?
Yeah, so the tattoo, whenever you say something...
Oh, it doesn't move. It removes or disappears, and you're allowed to give three commands.
Unless you're specifically granted more, but yes.
Yes.
But I get, well, when I say it moves, because it'll like shimmer and then kind of sort of disappear.
Well, I mean, like it also glows too, but you weren't saying it glows.
I think it's all encompassing. If something glows, it moves. Think of...
I beg to differ, sir. I beg to differ.
Think of lightning bugs. But
what about mushrooms? They don't move when they glow. Some of them.
They sway back and forth, I'd say.
If there's wind blowing, yes.
But... trying to get the best sunlight, you know? But what I was saying was, like, typically when you have your tattoo, you're granted all the knowledge of your own guy. Usually because you're trying to summon a specific person with something that held them very dear.
So, yeah, but what does that have to do with this movie, though? Like, what are you telling me about this movie? Because we know nothing.
Exactly. He doesn't know anything.
Well, he doesn't know anything. She doesn't know anything. But he's not the one that summoned her. Mash made a deal and became the hero. That's literally what they said. So no, they don't know nothing. They know as much as we know, which is nothing.
Why you want to hurt my head?
I'm not hurting your head on purpose. I'm just trying to help you understand that we like they know nothing.
I'm trying to help you understand that you don't understand a thing.
Yeah, no, she is a human that fused with a servant. That
while on the verge of death.
Yes. So it made her a demi servant. And all we know is that Saber recognized the power that she was using because she was a shield, had a giant wall barrier, whatever. So mm-hmm. We can only assume that it's someone that Saber actually intimately knew or knew from her time or what have you, or from her many, many battles. Mm-hmm. And then that is it. That is it.
It's unfortunate, but yes.
I'll tell you this, though. The writer, or one of the other servants that actually appear there that they show you, basically after they get there, so you see, what is it? Like, after she appears, you see basically the arm of the main character from Unlimited Blade Works arm. He's usually always the archer. He's there. And then you have the druid.
The archer that uses blades.
Yes. Well, so here's the interesting thing, right? And this is what I got from the movie. Take the guy that was the druid, right? The caster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He says,
usually very evil.
Usually. He says, next time I'm summoned, make sure I'm a Lancer. So I think how they summon and the class that they're wanting to summon dictates the kind of powers or abilities that they'll largely be infused with.
I don't know.
Because he's the same guy that is a Lancer in the other series.
Yeah, he was a Lancer there, but he's a Druid here. And when he kind of sort of dies, or he says, when you reincarnate or when I'm called again, try to make me a Lancer. So I feel like they remember everything, which...
I would say that they remember everything when they're summoned. But I think when they're being summoned is on the verge of their death or when they're dead.
Gotcha.
So they're constantly, when they're basically dying, they're constantly forever being summoned, not being allowed to truly die. Is what I think.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Well, I'm just, you know, calling it like I see it.
Even you said it wasn't, your own interpretation is probably wrong because you can, just like mine is. So I don't know.
Well, the reason why I'm saying that is because I remember watching Fate Stay Night and them referencing that. And then when Saber's going back, she's back to her own time. She's actually dying. I remember somehow them referencing that somewhere. I could be completely wrong, which is not far off the mark. They could decide to change it in one of the many timelines that they decide to do. But I'm just saying, this is what I remember.
You didn't like what we did? That's fine. That's cool. That's a separate timeline. We're actually doing this one where that didn't happen. It's like an adventure book that you get to choose your own ending, you know? And not going to lie, I enjoyed the trip. I enjoyed the journey, so to speak, even though the destination left me in the middle of a desert with no water, no fuel, no flares, and a tattered, you know, tank top with shorts.
Hey, at least you have a tank top and shorts.
Yeah.
I'm running out there wearing nothing but banana leaves.
At least banana leaves reflect the rain.
True. But they don't do much else.
True, true, true.
All right.
I mean, let's talk about that thing real quick. So, yeah, they were pretty bad. Yeah, the main character was able to be recognized by stuff, by other people. I feel like in other shows and other series, there's conflict between specific heroes that are well known to have had conflict in their life. Whereas here, there's really the only conflict felt forced between between Saber and our shield hero, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
Anyways, I forgot what I was going to, because I brought up Ryder and then I went on the tangent of Lancer and all that other stuff.
Uh huh.
The one thing that I like about the Fate series is that they draw on actual mythology. And Ryder was, I'm pretty confident in saying, was Medusa.
100%. I thought it was a nice, unique little twist to say that the statues are still alive with a beating heart.
Yeah.
I mean, that blood had to come from somewhere. And then she absorbed the blood, which for the casters class, I would say is pretty normal, considering they require sacrifice, usually human life, in order to achieve certain, let's call them magical feats.
Yeah, but she wasn't the caster. She was a different class, because the guy who, we know who the caster was, Blue Hair.
I thought he was a druid. I didn't realize he was a caster.
Well, I say druid because of the Celtic writings that he was using.
Fair. So what do you think Medusa was then?
I think she was like, not the Berserker, but I think when they were listing it out, I think she was mentioned as the Rider or something like that.
Protector, I think.
Or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Because in order to be a protector, you have to be semi sort of strong, but her only strength was defense. It felt like they put in 3 or 4 different anime in here to try to make it look good. For instance, I pour all my stats into defense because I don't want to get hurt. Bofumi. Is that the one?
Bofumi? Yeah, Bofuri.
Bofuri, yeah. Which we reviewed. Well, no, this predates Bofuri, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, it does. So
maybe they took it from here. But I'm saying but a lot. I'm conflicting with what I say a lot.
It's because it's just that type of movie. there's a lot that goes on here, and there is...
And not a lot of time. They pack a lot of information in, which I appreciated.
They did pack a lot of information in there in the span of about an hour and a hour and 10 minutes.
Fair.
So, I mean, like, honestly, I think right now we're just kind of talking in circles, trying to figure it out. I think this is going to be something that we kind of maybe have to delve a little bit deeper into, maybe watch another one of or something like that.
I'm not opposed to it. Even as confusing as it is, I like the series. I thoroughly enjoy the series. The thing I really disliked about this particular one is the way that it kind of just tapered off with no real ending, you know?
Yeah.
It tapered off with a, well, next week on.
Yeah.
And you're
Which
like,
I didn't like. I hated it. It was annoying. It was one of the most annoying things ever.
Yeah.
I mean, but honestly, I feel like we really can't say too much more.
Well, not without, like, ruining the entire movie.
Well, I mean, in general, I don't think we could really say too much. We keep talking in circles trying to figure it out. I mean...
True.
It's not that there's much of the movie to ruin. I think it has more so to do with the fact that we're trying to figure it out, make sense of it, because it was a lot of information crammed into an hour and 10 minutes. And even then, it didn't make sense. And you're left with more questions with a really open ending, not understanding anything really, because they told you nothing. It was a slow lead up, led up to some action, and then it gave a very open-ended ending with no resolution. You at the end, you find out who the bad guy is. That's it.
I mean, you already knew. Like, if you were paying attention, you already knew.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're getting the confirmation for it.
True.
Like, that's all that you're told. It was disappointing. So, I know this is going to be one of our shorter episodes. I know that already. But,
yeah.
So, on a scale, sir, of up to 10, how would you rate this?
As a standalone? 2.
Yes. 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's how it might as well, all of the Fate series needs to be rated as a standalone, because it is... it is as it is, man. I mean, it doesn't matter which ones you watch.
Yeah. Now, if it was the beginning of a series, then they'd be different. But as it stands, a two. I was going to maybe try to rate it higher because I do want people to watch it. Because the story, it's not bad as a start. But it's been out for a few years, and I don't know that a series has happened.
No, but it has a sequel movie.
Okay, so maybe not a 2. It has a sequel movie that's already out.
Yeah, it's called Fate Grand Order Moonlight Lost Room. Then there's Fate Grand Order... I'm not going to bother trying to say that. No. Fate Grand Order Camelot, Camelot 2. I mean, like, there's a lot of other material out there for it. Fate Grand Order Babylonia. So... Would you still stick with the 2, knowing that there's probably 7 different variations out there? There's another, actually, I take that back. Camelot actually came out last year, and it's an hour and a half long. And then Camelot 2 came out this year for Fate Grand Order.
So I'll have to actually watch the other ones. Maybe they got a series of movies coming out that make up the one storyline. So I'll retract my 2. With that extra knowledge, I will give it a 4. Can't go too much higher, but it's...
I give it a 3. I give it a 3, and the reason why I'm giving it a 3 is obviously because it's confusing as hell. I don't understand too much. It just felt... I feel empty on the inside from this movie. I feel hollowed out. I'm hurt more so than anything else. But the reason why I'm giving it a 3 instead of like a 1 or 2 is because MASH. It's my girl.
Really?
It's my girl.
Okay, why?
Because she's, even though she was about to give up, she didn't give up because her lame master was right there to help her out.
How did the master get around that attack that was so wide-reaching that it vaporized her entire surroundings? How did he somehow get through that scalding hot attack to help her and support her?
Plot magic, sir. And the power of love.
Yeah.
Plot magic and the power of love. I wondered the exact same thing when I saw that too. I saw that, I was like, how did he get around that? I mean, granted, it wasn't a complete solid barrier of lasers or whatever going around, so he could have jumped in between it, you know, to kind of like scoot in between the laser beams. But you know, anyways, that and the fact that she was able to repel Saber's lasers.
Well, technically, Saber has an anti-nation or anti-tank attack. I forget which one it is, but it's one of the most powerful attacks available. Saber's sought to be one of the top three classes, strong-wise, like strength-wise. And their Noble Phantasm is the strongest in the game, or in the show. And in this particular instance, they use the old adage, if you have a perfect sword and a perfect shield and they strike each other, who will fail? And the answer is they'll push against each other, essentially.
Yeah, the answer is whoever has the better technique.
That's true as well. I didn't take that into account.
Whoever has the better technique. If basically all things in terms of equipment are equal, it's whoever has the better technique that ends up ultimately winning.
True. Very true.
So, 3 for me, 4 for you, and so we're going with a choice for me next week.
Yes, it is. Which Fate series are we watching, sir?
Well, if it comes up on random, then yes, we will be watching it.
Oh, dear Lord.
Let's see here.
It's the Never-Ending Story.
Are you sure? The Never-Ending Story?
I'm sure part of that must be animated somewhere.
Probably. All right. Let's see here. Let's see here. Oh, wow. I haven't seen that in a long time. Is it available? It is available. All right. We'll watch FLCL. It's on Funimation. It's on Crunchyroll, Hulu. It's on the normal places. It's also dubbed, so that way you can listen to it too if you want to. It's 18 episodes long. It's action, comedy, mecha, parody, psychological, and sci-fi. So,
well, I think we found the next one.
Indeed. You looking forward to it, sir?
I'm not going to say no. I think it'll be intriguing.
Have you ever seen FLCL?
I don't know. I'll have to see a cutout. Why, yeah, have you?
Yes. Long time ago. Actually, I think I remember watching it when I was coming out.
Really?
Yes.
How many years ago was that?
20 years ago. 20, ooh, 21 years ago. Yeah. Came out in 2000.
So I'm looking up No, I have never seen this.
Okay.
It's going to look good, though.
So, well, that's all the time that we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this week's choice. If you feel like we were entirely too confusing for the Fate Grand Order First Order movie, let us know. Or if you want to impart onto us some knowledge, feel free to do so. You can reach out to us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook. Patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast if you want to catch some of the pre and post content that we usually do, that'll get you access to that starting $1 a month. And if you want to buy some merch, check out shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick. We'll see you next time.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.